Morning. Today's daf is daf mem beis. We're back on mem amud beis. We're at the very bottom. We're starting with a mishnah. Over the course of the sixth perek, we're going to get close to the end today. We've been talking about various blemishes in the animal that render the animal a bal mum. So by a bechor, that means now the kohen who was given the bechor to watch, and nothing the kohen could do with it after the base of mikdash was destroyed. So the bechor is going to wait until it gets this blemish, anything that we've identified up until now. And once that Bechor has this blemish, now the Kohen can go home and eat it. There's no pigeon, there's no redemption of the animal. Okay. By all other karbanos, once the carbon gets a balmum, as we've described, so then you're poda, then you redeem the animal, and it's psula hamukdashin. It is now, you can take it home, you can eat it, but with restrictions. Since the beginning of the parak, we've been covering now all the mumim, the ears, the eyes, nose, a little bit about the mouth. Okay, we talked about the private area, we talked about the tail, and we talked about an extra leg, a missing leg, broken bones. Okay, we covered a lot of the outwardly physical blemishes that would render the animal a balmum. The Mishnah continues, Zanav ha'egel, the tail of the calf, she'enu magas la'arkuv, it doesn't go all the way down. It doesn't go to the arkuv. Now, the arkuv is for sure the knee of the animal. Remember, in an animal, there are two knees, the upper knee and the lower knee. There are three major bone structures of the back leg of an animal, one more than the human. So, Amru Chochamim Kol Marbis Agalim Kol Kain Kol Zman Shehei Megadlin Hein Nimtachos. Okay, the Chochamim say that this is the growth, regular growth of an animal. As long as they grow it, tends to stretch out longer. Ezu hu arkuv sh'amar Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, omer ba'arkuv sh'be'emtza hayerech. And so now the Mishnah needs to tell us which arkuv are we talking about, the arkuv in the middle of the yerech. What exactly is that? Take a look now on the top of the Gemara, on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Tana kafatz el yom velo kafatz tachton. The upper knee joint, not the lower knee joint, uchenegda begamal nikar. We saw exactly this language in Chulin. Meaning, on a camel, the camel, you can actually see both knee joints. You can see the upper one and the lower one. On a regular animal, a cow or a calf, you cannot see the upper knee joint because it's hidden under the belly and all the flesh of the animal. So that back part of the animal is substantially more than that of a camel. It's just bulkier. So you can't see the upper knee joint. So it is the corresponding knee that you will find in a camel, that upper knee joint. Okay, so in other words, the tail has to be at least to the length of that upper knee joint, in order for it to be considered not a balmum. Finally, after going through all this, the Mishnah now makes almost like a summary statement. Al eila mumim shochtin as a bechor. All these are blemishes where you shecht the bechor. Psula mukdashin niftan alein. If it's psula mukdashin, so you're allowed to redeem it. Okay, that's the Mishnah. That's like a summary statement. And the Gemara's question is very simple. Why do we need a summary statement? You really don't need one. Meaning, if you go back to the beginning of the parak, right, all the way back in Lam Zayin Amud Aleph, and I'll read, Al Eila Mumim Shochtin as a Bechor. These are the blemishes we're going to shecht the Bechor. So, I know we're about to turn to a new part of the sixth parak of Bechoros, but the Gemara is just simply bothered by, why is there a summary statement? Hasu Lamali. That's exactly the Gemara's question. Hatan Le Reisha, Al Eila Mumim Shochtin as a Bechor. So, Seifa Itzterichi. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I need it because psula hamukdash niftanim aleihem. Because there was one little point mentioned over here in our Mishnah that was not mentioned previously, and that is that these blemishes are not just true by Bechor, they're true by all karbanos. Or for all the karbanos, if you get this blemish, you get to be poda, you get to redeem. Okay? Anami pshita. So the Gemara says, okay, but even without the Mishnah, we would have known this. Mishach shachita mifrak mibaye. If you're going to shecht a Bechor over this blemish, so that means, correspondingly, that you can redeem an animal over these blemishes as well. Eli did the Tanish Lo Shahosi va'amru lo shamanu es elo v'ktani v'asa diyichidai v'kasasim le bekulo al elamumim shochten zebachor psulam agdash niftan aleihem. So the Gemara gives the answer, and the Gemara says, "Look, I'll tell you why you need the summary statement." Because there came a point in the Mishnayos where you're not really sure if this is like accepted halacha. Basically, the Gemara is answering on behalf of Hedi. Meaning, if you look carefully at the Mishnah, after giving a list of blemishes, the Mishnah says that there was a known checker. His name was Ayala, and he added three. And the Chachamim did not agree to his three. Now, at that point in time, you could say, oh, really? So in other words, there are blemishes mentioned in this perek that the Chachamim don't agree to. And then if you carefully scan the Mishnayos from that point forward, you'll start noticing that a lot of these blemishes are mentioned by one Tana. I'll give you a series of examples. If you look at Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, right, the Mishnah over there says, Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas Omer ein bokim ba tiyomas v'lifnim v'af lo asa tiyomas. I'll give you another example. Take a look. Right, take a look at the Mishnah on Mem Amud Aleph, where we talked about the Beitzim and how to examine an animal. And there you have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And then look at a later Mishnah. Right? Right, the Lechi Atachton Odef Al Elyon, where the lower jaw protrudes more than the upper jaw. And they ask Rabbi Gamliel. In other words, and you'll see Mishnah after Mishnah, the Mishnah on Mem Amud Beis, Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas Omer, right? The Mishnah, okay? In other words, what comes out is that you have a whole series of Mishnayos where it's mentioned in the name of one Tana. So, we already know that the Gemara ended up rejecting Ayala and his additional three. So maybe anything mentioned in the Mishnah that it's not universal, that's not Stam, that's mentioned in the name of one Tana, maybe the Halacha does not let go like that. So the summary statement is, Al Eile Mumim Shochten Esvachor, meaning all the blemishes we mentioned in this parak. Even if it comes to us via one Tana, it does not matter. These are the blemishes that you're going to shecht. We'll still exclude Ayala's three, but that's fine. The Mishnah says we'll exclude those. But all the other ones are not to be excluded. Okay. Now, we move on in the Mishnayos, and now we turn to a new chapter, but a new part of the sixth chapter. Blemishes that we've been discussing up until now are blemishes, are mumim gemurim. There are absolute blemishes. At which point in time now, you can't. You if it's a bechor, you could take it home, you could shech the animal, you can eat the bechor. If it's other karbanos, you'll redeem the karban. Meaning these are mumim gemurim. There's going to be a whole series of blemishes which are kind of like, not exactly blemishes, but at the same time, they're puzzle for the mizbeach. So they're in somewhere in the middle, right? Beina shmashos, if you will, of blemishes. The elu shein shochten aleihem lo b'mikdash v'lo b'medina. So for these blemishes that we're about to list, you cannot shech, not in the mikdash, not in the medina. Meaning, you're in limbo. Not good enough for the base of mikdash, not good enough to shech in your own home. So in other words, they'll put the animal in a holding pattern. Okay, and they are chavavar v'amayim shein kavum. First of all, we go to the eyes. If the eyes have white specks in them, or the eyes has the accumulation of water, but it's not permanent. Right? Remember, we talked earlier about seeing whether or not the condition was permanent. Chutim hapanimim shenifkumu avolosha nekru. We go up to the gums in the back of the mouth. The gums in the back of the mouth, we said, had to be totally nekar. There had to be a total abscess of gum in order for that to be considered a blemish. What if it's not an abscess? What if it's just like a nick or a cut in the back gum? That's not a definitive mum. Ubal grav, ubal yalefes, I'm sorry, ubal yabelas, ubal chazazes. An animal that is a bal grav, we'll see in the Gemara says that's it's a type of wart, a yabelas and chazazes. These are all various types of warts, growths or protrusions on the animal. Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss this further. Zakein v'chola umuzham. If the animal is old, we're not going to define what old is today, and we're talking in the world of animals. If the animal is old, if the animal is sick, or the animal is smelly. Now that one is funny, because in other words, obviously when we say smelly, we mean he's giving off some foul odor that normally doesn't come off an animal. Shenev dabo avera, or if let's say the animal was involved in bestiality, shehemis adam api eidachad, or api abalim, or if it killed somebody, either through the testimony of one witness or through the owner's testimony. Now, this qualification about one witness or the owner's testimony is going on the last two cases, meaning it's going both on bestiality and on the animal killing somebody. Because, as the Gemara is going to point out, if the animal killed, and you have two witnesses who saw the killing, that this animal killed a human being, so the animal now needs to be put to death. So there's not going to be much of a discussion in terms of, oh, can this animal be fit for the Mizbeach? So it's, right, it's a strange discussion considering the fact that in just a moment the animal is going to be killed by Beis Din. So over here we're talking about a case where the animal killed, but it was only witnessed by one witness. Now, one witness in Halacha usually is tantamount to nothing, meaning it's two witnesses or nothing. However, in terms of disqualification for the Mizbeach, one witness is going to be enough. We have a general rule of Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurin. One witness is going to be enough to create Isser. It won't be enough in order for Beis Din to give out corporal punishment, but it will be enough in order to establish Isser. The fact that this animal now is prohibited to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach, one witness can establish that, even if that one witness is its own owner. The Tumtum of Androgynous, and if the animal is a Tumtum or an Androgynous. Okay, a good portion of today's daf is dedicated to the topic of Tumtum and Androgynous. Stay tuned, I will go through both of them in great detail. Lo b'mikdash v'lo b'medina. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Ein l'chamum gadol mizeh. Rabbi Yishmael says, I understand, the animal is an androgynous, right? There is no greater blemish than an androgynous animal. V'chachamim omer, remeinu b'chor, ela nigzaz v'nevad. And the Chachamim say, it's not even a b'chor. Okay. Now, an androgynous, we know, is where it has both genitalia, male and female. And there's a fundamental question which the Mishnah over here is basically dealing with is, what is it? Is it male? Is it female? Is it both? Right? Those are... Right. Is it male, female, or both? Well, it has male genitalia, it has female genitalia. So you could say, we don't know. You could say we know, but... you could say we don't know. You could say we know what it is. It's male female, meaning there's a third option, right? There's, in other words, on those boxes where it asks you to check, you know, what gender you are, male or female or both. So maybe this animal is not male. In other words, you wouldn't be checking male, you wouldn't be checking female. You'd be running a third box and you'd be saying it's an androgynous. It's the third option. So just quickly, let me just go run over these three opinions again in the Mishnah. Again, it's going to be a lot of our topic today, but just quickly to review in the Mishnah. The Tanakama of the Mishnah says, Tum Tum Vajaganus Lobe Mikdash Lobe Medina. Meaning the Tanakama basically says, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's male. I don't know if it's female. So you can't shacht it. Meaning because I don't know. It could be a male, which means it's a Bechor. Could be a female, which means it's not a Bechor. I just don't know. And Rabbi Yishmael says, what do you mean? This is a blemish. Meaning what Rabbi Yishmael sounds like he's saying, is that I know for sure it's a male animal, but it's a male animal with a blemish, meaning it because it also has female genitalia, so therefore it's a male animal with a blemish. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel sounds like he's saying. Again, stay tuned because the Gemara is going to discuss his position also at length. And then there's the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say it's neither. What are you talking about? It's not male, it's not female, it's an androgynous. It's its own separate category. I wouldn't even call it Bechor. What are you going to call it? Simple. An animal. An animal that came out of its mother, even though it's the first one that comes out of the mother, it's not a male, it's an androgynous. The Chachamim are so secure in their position, you can even shear the animal, you can even work the animal. It's nothing, it's not a bechor. Anything you want, it's just a regular animal. It'd be no different than a female coming out first. Female coming out first, we all know, that has no kedusha whatsoever. So the Chachamim would say, the androgynous is coming out, same thing.
What is the difference in the outcome?
It's huge, because Rabbi Yishmael is telling you it has kedusha. It has kedusha and it's blemished. So that means, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you can't shear it, you can't work it.
He has to go to Kohen to eat it.
You give it to a Kohen and the Kohen's going to eat it. Okay. Again, we'll talk more specifically about Rabbi Yishmael later on this morning. All right, so the Gemara is going to first take care of a number of technical issues. The Garav Lo. Our Mishnah says that if the animal has a condition called Garav, our Mishnah says it's not Mum Gamur. It's not a definitive Mum. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maksiv Garav Baraisa. Okay, go through your Psukim, write Parsha Samor. So the Torah over there is going to tell you a whole list of blemishes in an animal that will disqualify for the mizbech, and one of those that are mentioned is the garav. Okay, such a simple question. And our Mishnah says it's not a mum gamur. And also the in that pasuk, same pasuk, it says also chazosis. Now the Torah does not say the actual word chazosis. The Torah says the words yalefes. So we'll talk more in detail in just a second. So yalef is barais of Italia, garav zu a cheres. So garav is a cheres. Now cheres is, and now I'm going to basically answer your question. Cheres is shchin. It's a boil, and it is hard like cheres. It's hard like pottery. So in other words, it's some sort of growth on the skin, right? A boil, but it has no liquid in it whatsoever. So v'tanya garav zu a cheres, yalefes zu chazazis. And the yalefes is a chazazis, a type of wart. I'm sorry, let me read on. Chazazis amitzvus, the Egyptian wart. Meaning, right, in Egypt they were plagued. Remember? Yeah. So the, so they got boils. So that is when the Torah describes yalefes, that's chazazis hamitzvus. That's the Egyptian boil. The Amar Eish Lakish Laman Ikra Shmo Yalefes Shemilafefes V'Oleches Hayom HaMisa. Right? It's a type of skin condition where it just sticks with you until the day you die. Right? I've heard great reports about when choosing the medical practice of choice. Dermatology, they say, is fantastic because your patients never get better. Right? God forbid, but you know. Right, it doesn't. Right, the patients. Right, they don't get better, and they don't die. So you know, perfect. Okay. Okay. Eczema suffer for life. So you know, I'm obviously jaded when it comes to dermatology. So v'holachas ad yamamisa. So bishlam chazazus chazazus lo kasha. The Gemara says like this. Look, first of all, let's resolve the chazazus issue. Kan b'chazazus amitzus. Kan b'chazazus dama. So look. There are two different types of chazazis, two different types of boils. The Egyptian boil, which is terrible, which is, right, that's what the Egyptians suffered. So that's the kind of chazazis where the Torah disqualifies. But we're talking about a milder form of chazazis, our Mishnah, and ask me for the actual difference between the two, I'm not really sure. But in other words, a milder form of chazazis, that's what our Mishnah is talking about, that's not a mum gamur. Fine. Ela grava grav kasha, grava grav namelo kasha, abalacha be yavesh. So, lach itse, yavesh lo mitse. And the Gemara says, look, as far as the grav is concerned, the Mishnah, I'm sorry, let's start with the Torah. The Torah's description of grav, that's the cheres. That's the hard growth that grows on the body. So that's, and it's dry, that will never, it will never recover. So that's a mum kavua. That's a definitive mum. As opposed to our Mishnah is describing a moist grav, which a person will heal from. The Gemara questions this, Valach mitzi v'aksiv, Yakecha Hashem b'shchim mitzrayin, right, we get to the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, and part of the Tochacha is that Kadosh Baruch Hu should unleash upon you Shchin Mitzrayim, the boils of Egypt. Umidichsiv uvechares, hare grav lach amor. Now the Torah over there also in the Tochacha says, uvechares. So that's grav lach. That's already the moist grav. The kama asher lo suchal lihirape. And in the tochacha it says you won't be able to heal from it. So it sounds like that when you're dealing with a wet grav, it is not curable. Unlike what we just said, that our Mishnah is talking about a wet grav, and the reason why it's not a mum kavur is because it's curable. But based on the psukim of the tochacha, it sounds like even the wet one is not curable. Ella tlasa havu, dekra yavesh, mem ben bifnim, mem ben b'chutz. So the Gemara is now going to give us three different diagnoses. One is the one that the Torah is talking about in Parshas Emor. That's dry, bone dry, both inside and outside. That's the one the Torah deals with. Demasitzen lach mem b'chutz umi bifnim. The one mentioned in the Mishnah, which is curable, is moist both inside and outside. And demitzrayim, Yavesh mi bifnim v'lach mi b'chutz. So what in Egypt? Dry on the inside, wet on the outside. Dichziv, and in fact, it's indicated in the psukim. Go to Parshas Va'era, where the Torah there describes the shchin. Vayehishchen abba bo'ot poreach ba'adam. They were like exploding, right? They were protruding some sort of pus, right? I'm not 100% sure about what we're trying to describe over here, but dry on the inside, wet on the outside. So that's what the Torah is describing by Shechin Mitzrayim, and that's also not curable. So basically now we have three different types of garav that we're describing. The one mentioned in the Torah, the one mentioned by Mitzrayim. So they have a dryness to them. One is totally dry, bone dry. The other one is dry on the inside, wet on the outside. Neither of those are curable. That's mum kavua. The one described in our Mishnah, mum over, passing mum, wet inside and outside. Okay. Apparently. We talked earlier, remember, we had a discussion about you're allowed to cut the hair of the animal in order to get a better look at the blemish. You're not allowed to shear the animal, so it's a davar she'eino miskaven, right? That's what we talked about earlier in the Masechta. Hazaken achola vehamuzham. The Torah says some sheep and some goats. So you see the words min and you see it three times, three exclusions. Lazaken achola muzam utzrichi. And I need all three exclusions. You see, what's notable about being old is that it's kind of irreversible. Meaning, once you're old, that's it. It's, we move in one direction. Okay. But if you're sick, okay, that's reversible. So, now, you could say by illness, the illness is not normal. Meaning people will get sick and animals will get sick. But it doesn't have to result in that. As opposed to ziknus, as opposed to old age, that's universal. Meaning everyone experiences old age. So I might have thought maybe a sick person, a sick animal is excluded, but not a sick, but not an old animal, because that's just universal. Everyone gets old. Now, but sick in old age, the animal has experienced a weakness, but if the animal is muzham, it just gives off a foul odor, so ema lo. So I might have thought, okay, but the animal is still strong. And then you can also make an argument, well, if the Torah only excluded the smelly animal, it's ma'os, that's disgusting. But old age and sickness, that's not ma'os, that's not disgusting. There's nothing bad about it. It's just normal. So I might have thought that those would be fine. So therefore, it's tzricha. So the Gemara says on all three of those, that's why the Torah needs to exclude all three. Shenev daboa. They're minani militan, rabbanim, minna behema, lautzi, rova, venirva. Minna behema is an exclusion, rova, venirva. The animal was involved in bestiality. Rova, venirva, both sides of the bestiality, meaning either it was the object of or it actually acted upon a human. So minabakalo tsiasanevad. Animal was served as idolatry. The animal was worshipped. Minatson lahotsi esamuksa, and an animal was set aside for idolatry. Umin hatson lahotsi esanogeach. And minatson is coming to tell me that if the animal killed somebody, so therefore it's also going to be excluded. Interesting, in all these cases, I know this is not going to sound appetizing, but all these cases, the exclusion of the Torah is that it cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Meaning, if the Torah is telling you that it's excluded from the Mizbeach, what does that mean for you and me? Meaning, can we enjoy that animal? And the answer is, sure. Sure we can enjoy that animal. I wouldn't make good dinner conversation about this as you're eating the animal. Did you know the story about this animal? Right? I wouldn't bring it up at the dinner table, but it's not usher for human consumption. And you know that's true, by the way, because had it been usher for human consumption, by default, that means it would have been usher for the Mizbeach as well. The Mizbeach has to keep kosher, similar to the way we have to keep kosher. So these exclusions are only for the Mizbeach. Now, the Gemara asked the obvious question, which we dealt with in the Mishnah, if an animal was involved in bestiality, if the animal was a murderer, so the animal needs to be put to death. So why do we need an exclusion from the Mizbech? So, api edach or api abalim. So the Gemara says, well, one witness or its own master. Bishlama tumtum b'mikdash lo domenikevahi. B'medina lo domazacharhu. V'leis ba mumma. So I understand by tumtum, look, we don't know what it is. Tumtum is where the animal has genitalia, but it's being covered by a patch of skin, and we simply do not know what it is. Is it male? Is it female? We don't know. So obviously there, we're just plagued with a lack of information. You can't shechta it as a bechor, it may be female. I can't shechta in the comfort of my own home because it may be male, so we just simply don't know. Ella androgynous, bishlam ebe mikdash lo domenikevihi. Look, when it comes to androgynous, here's the problem. It has both genitalia, male and female. So, I understand in the base of mikdash, no, because it may be a female. Ella be medina nami, nihi de zacharhu. So look, take it outside the base of mikdash. Shecht it outside the base of mikdash. Why not? Let's even call the androgynous a male. But you know what? Can't we also make the argument that it's blemished? Essentially, what the Gemara is asking is, why doesn't everyone agree to Rabbi Yishmael? Meaning, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yishmael says it is a male with a blemish. So, essentially, what the Gemara is asking, how come people are disagreeing with Rabbi Yishmael? Now, let's try to pinpoint what exactly is the blemish of this animal. Okay, and to say just simply because it has female genitalia, in addition to that, you have to be more specific. In other words, that statement in of itself is not enough to explain why it is a Baal Mum. So the Gemara says like this, Nehi dezachru hu tasa nekevos charitz v'yishchot Allah. So the Gemara's argument now is, maybe we could say that the female genitalia is considered like a nick, a groove, or a cut in the animal, and so therefore that would be considered a Baal Mum. Now granted, over here in this case, it's a natural indentation due to the fact that it's female genitalia, but still, halachically, can't we look at it as just simply a charitz? So, Amar Abai, so listen carefully now, because the Gemara is going to explain in one of two ways why the female genitalia of this androgynous doesn't qualify as a blemish. So, it's going to be Abai and it's going to be Rava. So, we start with Abai. Amar Abai, Amakra, O charutz O Shavur. So, Abai says, any nick in an animal is insufficient. If you look carefully in the Pesukim, the Torah says, charutz O Shavur. The animal is either nicked or broken. Now, that breakage of the animal, what's that describing? A bone. Charutz domi de shavur, ma shavur b'makom etzem, af charutz b'makom etzem. So the charitz has to be in a place where there is bone. Meaning, in the soft skin of the animal, if there's a nick in that soft skin, that's not legally a charitz. It has to be domi de shavur, similar to broken. Broken is by bone. Nick has to be by bone as well. This is the understanding of Abaye. Okay, so fine. And let's just finish off the thought. So that means according to Abaye, this androgynous, so it does have female genitalia, and that would, you could be viewed as an indentation, as a charitz, but it's not into the bone of the animal, so consequently it's not a charitz. That's answer number one. Rava Amar, Belo Shavur Nami, Lo Matzis Amart. So Rava says, I don't need to even come on to that argument of shavur and chritz. We can say it a different way. Charutz b'makom basar havimoma. Look, Rava says, I'll argue the point more fundamentally. Look, we said that the garav is a cheres. Right, it's a growth on the body, hard like earthenware. Right, dichsiv. I'm sorry. Michretz charitz. Now we didn't say this before, but now the Gemara is going to make the argument. It's funny, when I said garav, I envisioned. I assume most everyone did as well, that it's a growth that grows up over the skin. But the Gemara now is going to argue is that's not true. It's actually an indentation into the skin. It's basically a crater that's created in the skin itself. How do I know this? Because it says, and we now turn to a mitzora. Dichsiv umarehu amok mina'or. It's actually this sara'as, right, goes deep into the skin. Kemare chamaha amuka minatzel. Now I do study perception a little bit. I don't fully understand this, but the Gemara assumes that when you have white on shadow, the white looks darker, looks deeper, I should say, not darker. The white looks deeper than the shade. Meaning if I'm contrasting a very bright spot next to a very dark spot, so the bright spot looks deeper from a perception standpoint. Okay?
It's the ross of an animal?
Sorry, no. That's the ross by a human. But at least you see over there that the terminology of garav is that it has to be deep. So now, if this condition of garav is a deep wound where it actually goes into the skin, so why can't you just simply say that's a charitz and be end with and end the discussion? So Rava concludes his argument. What do you see over here? That just because there's a recess in the skin, that by itself is not necessarily a blemish of the animal. That's not by itself considered a charitz. A charitz has to be something more substantial than that. It has to go deeper. It has to go even into the bone. Not because the Torah says charutz o shavur, says Rava, simply because you see that the garav is recessed into the skin, and yet that by itself is not enough. It has to be recessed into the skin and hard like earthenware. Then and only then is the animal disqualified. But just the recess by itself is not considered a blemish. Okay. So now we have, right? Good, perfect. So now we have two explanations. Again, you have an androgynous. An androgynous is an animal that's both male and female, has both male genitalia and female genitalia. Now what the Gemara is asking is, why don't we argue that it's a male animal with a blemish? And we're going to say that the female genitalia, a recess in the body, is considered a blemish. So basically Abai and Rava's answer is, because the recess by itself is not a blemish. Abaye learns it through the correlation, the connection of charutz to charutz shavur, right? Broken and charutz. Broken bone, nicked bone. That's Abaye's answer. And Rava says, no, just more fundamentally. A recess by itself is not enough. It's insufficient. It has to be recessed. It has to also be hard like earthenware. But a recess by itself in the skin is not considered a blemish. So far, so good. The Gemara says, okay, now that we explained the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, so what's Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel says that if you have an androgynous, you know what that is? It's called a male animal with a blemish right alongside it. So, but now we explain the Tanakhama, so where's Rabbi Shmuel stand on this issue? That's the Gemara's next question. The Gemara doesn't even ask it as a question. The Gemara just assumes that, you understand now, we have to explain Rabbi Shmuel. Ka'abaye, last two lines of the Amud. Ka'abaye lo amar charutz domi deshava lo amrinan. So first of all, he dismisses Abaye. Okay. And you understand historically, Abaye and Rabbi Shmuel never are arguing with one another. Meaning the Gemara is arguing on behalf of Rabbi Yishmael. Meaning he just simply doesn't subscribe to Abaye. And that's fine because so did Rava. Meaning we already know that Abaye's connection of Charutz and Shavur is not universally accepted. Okay. Why doesn't he hold like Rava? Kerava nami lo amr del mahecha del aminkara. So you'll say on behalf of Rabbi Yishmael, look, a little recess into the skin, that's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And only when it's compounded with the fact that it's a recess in the skin and it's hard like earthenware, that's a garav. But just a little recess is not a big deal. But when you have an androgynous where it has male genitalia and right next to it it has female genitalia, And that's a significant recess in the body. So maybe then Rabbi Yishmael would say, that's a blemish. That would be considered a blemish. Okay. Yes.
Why can't we use the same argument that you have three kidneys that's considered a blemish? This is two sets of blemish.
Yeah, but the female genitalia is not anything per se other than just an indentation into the body. Meaning it's not a limb. Right? To have an additional limb. So that's, in other words, that has to be reckoned over here.
Wait,
without trying to be too graphic or, you know, but in other words, but just...
It doesn't have a wound?
It may, but that's internal.
But a kidney is internal.
No, but the Gemara wasn't discussing an extra kidney. I mean, the Gemara was discussing an extra kidney, But just, in other words, the Mishnah about extra, we're talking about extra limbs. Okay, but in other words, it what presents to us from the outside is a female genitalia. So it has an indentation in the body. So now, basically, what we've stated is that, according to the Tanakhama, it's not a blemish. So what is it? So the Tanakhama says, exactly. Exactly. What is it? So it may be a male, maybe a female, so we have to treat it accordingly. What Rabbi Shmuel is arguing is that it's a male with a blemish, meaning that female genitalia is considered a blemish. It's considered an indentation into the body. The garav was not considered a blemish unless it was hard like earthenware. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's different. Okay, it's not as significant, basically. Vay Rav, we're now on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and now the Gemara is going to try to understand Rabbi Shmuel one level even deeper. Meaning, look, here's what we know. Rabbi Shmuel says, it's a blemished animal. Right? He says it. He said it back in the Mishnah. It's a male animal with its blemish alongside. The Gemara asks, by Rava, my time to Rabbi Shmuel, Mishab, Shitale Danjagnas Bechorhu, Umuma Imo. Is he saying this definitively? Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel's statement is, I know for sure it's a male animal, which means I know for sure it's a Bechor. And the fact that it has female genitalia, that's considered a blemish, and so therefore it's a Bechor Balmum. Or, what's the other option? Odilma Sefuki Mesafkele. Meaning, maybe Rabbi Shmuel is saying, look, I really don't know what it is. Meaning, I'm not 100% sure. But let's even argue that it's a male animal. If we're going to argue that it's a male animal, so but it also has a blemish right alongside it. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel's statement is, I don't know for sure it's a male animal, but even if you're going to argue that it's a male animal, but it's got a blemish right alongside. Now I know, those of you who've been in the daf long enough, that sounds really subtle, the difference of whether he's saying it definitively or whether he's saying it as a suffix. But again, if you've been with us long enough, you'll know there's a big difference between saying something definitively versus saying something out of doubt. The Gemara goes through two nafkaminas. So, imtim salamar b'chor are, I'm sorry, yeah, imtim salamar b'chor, odilma, I'm sorry, that was the end of the second side. Odilma stafukim esafkel of imtim salamar kamar, imtim salamar b'choru, are mumo imo, lamay nafkamina. So the Gemara says, give me two practical differences. Number one, lamok alay mishum gizev avoda. Right? Let's say I'm outside the Beis HaMikdash with my androgynous animal, my firstborn androgynous animal, and I'm prepared to shear the animal. And someone comes running to me and says to me, oh no, you can't do that. You can't shear the animal. This is a Bechor. I'm a student to Rabbi Shmuel. This is a Bechor. So if Rabbi Shmuel is making a definitive statement, so now you are definitely violating an Isser in the Torah of shearing a Bechor, which means that you're subject to Malkus. But if Rabbi Shmuel's statement is only, I don't know, and even if it is a Bechor, it's a Bechor with a blemish, so now, what kind of warning are you getting? You know, this may be a Bechor. Yeah, but that's a Sarat Safek. That's not a real warning, because we don't know definitively whether it is or it isn't a Bechor. That's one nafkamina. A second nafkamina. Inami lemitzvah lekohen. Look, the Kohen comes knocking on your door. Hi, I heard you had a firstborn animal born in your litter. Right? I'd like to take it. So you say to the Kohen, look, let's go over the first side of Rabbi Shmuel. If Rabbi Shmuel is saying definitively it's a male animal, so now the Kohen's entitled. You could say to him, I don't want to give it to you, I want to give it to another, but you understand, the Kohen's entitled. But if it's Rabbi Shmuel's statement is, I don't know for sure, so you simply say to the Kohen, look, even if we're going to hold like Rabbi Shmuel, he doesn't know for sure that it's a male animal. He's saying only, even if you're going to say it's a male animal, well, you're coming to my house, you want to take my Bechor from me, you don't even know for sure it's a Bechor. It's okay, so two very practical differences in terms of whether Rabbi Shmuel is saying it definitively or he's saying it only out of Suffolk. Tashma, so the Gemara now will try to determine whether or not Rabbi Shmuel says it definitively. The Gemara quotes a Bryce, Rabbi Lai, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Androgynous Bechor Hu Umumo Imo. Bryce sounds very clear. It is a Bechor with a blemish. Shmamina Mishab Shitale. V'dilman Tim Salamar Kamar. The Gemara says, look, not necessarily. It could just simply say that even if you're going to say that it's a Bechor, but it's a Bechor with a blemish. Tashma. The Gemara is going to try this again. Zachar v'lo nekeva k'shoamer lamata zachar shein tamalomer matamalomer lo titumtum v'anjaganas. When the Torah later on says zachar, it's coming to exclude both the tumtum, the animal where we don't know the gender, because there's a patch covering over the genitalia, or the androgynous, which is not exclusively a male. Now, money. The author of that particular braisa, who is it? Look, if the Tanakama just throws his hands up in the air and says, I don't know. So, according to the Tanakama, I have a pasuk that responds to an I don't know. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So, for him, he doesn't need exclusions of animals where we happen not to know what it is. Meaning, we may have issues of identification, but God certainly knows. So, the exclusion of the Torah of Zachar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what it is. It's just our lack of knowledge. So, it's not the Tanakama who's speaking over here. Ela Rabbanan Basrai. So, the Gemara says, okay, you know who it is? It's the Chachamim of the Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah, there are three opinions. Tanakama, Rabbi Shmuel, the Chachamim. Remember what the Chachamim say? They say, you know what the androgynous is? None of the above. It's not male, it's not female. It's its own separate category. So the Gemara says, Michai Kranafke, da hagabe bechorcha, zachar hu dechziv, kamate kula minayhu. Yeah, but from the Chachamim standpoint, I get all this information from one exclusion. Meaning the Torah says male. You know what it has to be? It has to be male. Can't be female, and it can't be tumtum and androgynous because they're not definitively male. It has to be definitively and absolutely a male. So it's not the Chochamim as well. Ela Pshita Rabbi Shmuel. So it must be, just by process of elimination, the author of this braisa has to be Rabbi Shmuel. V'yamar b'shalom Rabbi Shmuel misha pshita lei. Hainu d'yitzir kral amute. So now, from Rabbi Shmuel's standpoint, if he knows definitively it is a male, so then good. So then I understand why the Torah has to come and exclude it. It's a male, but you can't offer it as a carbon. But if Rabbi Shmuel is basically in the same camp as the Tanakama, where he doesn't know where it is, so the Torah is going to address our lack of knowledge, meaning it's our issue. We don't know how to identify it. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows how to identify it. We just don't know how to identify it. So the Gemara says, no, la'olam rabbanan basra v'gabe b'chor tarti kraksiv hazachor hazacharim. And so the Gemara says, no, you only assign that braisa to Rabbi Shmuel by process of elimination. So the Gemara now is going to argue, no, could be that the author of this braisa is the Rabbanan Basrai, that last opinion in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, doesn't he learn it all out from one drasha of Zachar? No. The Gemara says that there are two mentions of Zachar, and there's a mention of Zacharim, and so there are two psukim, and there are two drashas that get come out from it. Rashi quotes, HaZachar Takdish, the first one, your Makdish, HaZacharim, back to Parshas Bo, Asher Yelecha HaZacharim LaHashem. So you see that there are two psukim of Zachar, Chad, Lamute Sfeik, I'm sorry, V'gabechor Ksiv, right, V'gabechor Ksiv, Akra, Ksiv HaZachar VaHaZacharim. So there are two exclusions. One's coming to exclude the tumtum, and another one's coming to exclude the androgynous. Okay, fine. So we kind of left off, leave ourselves off somewhat in the air. Meaning, question. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he says that it's a male animal with a blemish. Is he saying that definitively? Or is he saying, even if you want to argue that it's a male animal, it's got a blemish in it? So the Gemara leaves that off inconclusive. We don't know, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is the statement definitive or is it out of suffix? And finally, we get to the Chacham. Chacham emamrim eino bechor. Amr of Chista, machlokis ba'androgynous. Now, the Chacham of our Mishnah say that you have an androgynous with both male and female genitalia. It's not male. It's not female. It's its own separate category. Birya bifnei atzma. And so therefore, does it have to be brought as a carbon? No, it's not a male. Can I take it home and shecht it? Absolutely. Can I work it? Sure. Okay? It's its own separate category. So now, that's only by androgynous, says Rav Chista, not by tumtum. Okay? Tumtum, what is that? It's an animal where we don't know its genitalia. The portion of the genitalia is covered by a flap of skin, and we simply don't know. So what Rav Chista is going to argue is in that case over there, that's not a birya bifnei atzma. That's not its own separate independent category. That's just simply, we don't know. Now, a lot of...
Really, in essence, could be one or the other.
Could be male, could be female. We just simply don't know. Now, it sound, now his argument sounds... His argument sounds... you're right. His argument sounds great. The problem is, there's going to be a whole series of Mishnayos and Brysos that seem to lump Androgynous and Tumtum together, not the least of which is our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Aval Tumtum Divrei Kol Sfeikah, Bekarsh Misfeikah. Amalei Rav, Alam Yata Be'erchin Yarech. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me that the Tumtum is either male or female, so let's say we try out Erchin. Now, Erchin is by humans, not by animals. Okay, so we're discussing a human who's a Tumtum. Now, Alama Tanan, we learned in a Bryce, so we're now on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Hazachar Velo Tumtum Va'adragonus. Right? That if you make an Erech of the male, not the Tumtum, not the androgynous. Now, androgynous, we understand. It's its own separate category. It's not male, it's not female, it's both. But Tumtum... let's say, in other words, Tumtum could be male, could be female. If you're telling me I don't know what it is, so it couldn't, shouldn't it be subject to Erechin? Right. So, Sami Mikan Tumtum. Get ready for this answer. The Gemara is going to use this answer a lot. In that Brisa by Erechin, take out the word Tumtum. Okay? And just get comfortable. What we're going
to
be...
Answer the issue, though.
Because according to Rav Chisda, Tumtum is not its own separate category. It's either male or female. We don't know. Let's go. Tashma yachol yeh berech isha val yeh berech isha. Tamalomer hazachar im nekeva velo tumtum v'androgynous. Again, another brisa describing Erechin, pointing out that we see tumtum and androgynous are listed. Again, samim mikan tumtum. Take out tumtum from that brisa as well. Tashma im zachar im nekeva zachar v'adai nekeva v'adai velo tumtum velo androgynous. Okay? Definitive male, but not tumtum and not androgynous. The Gemara says samim mikan tumtum. Again, take out tumtum as well. Tashma, hazachar v'lo nekeva, keshuam elamata zachar shein tamalomer matamalomer lotzi tumtum v'androgynous. Take out tumtum v'androgynous. Samim mikan tumtum, and again take out tumtum as well. Tashma, hanevad v'hamuksa v'ha'esnam v'hamechir v'tumtum v'androgynous kulam etamim migadnim abeis habliya. All these different types of birds, even though they got issues, they were worshipped, they were exchanged for prostitution, they were androgynous, they were tumtum, so they're all going to be tummy beis abliya. If you swallow the carcass of these birds, they're all going to give off tumas beis abliya. Rabbi Elazar Amar, tumtum va'adragnas ein metamim begadnam beis abliya, shai Rabbi Elazar Amar, kol makum shenemar zachur nekeva, atamoti tumtum va'adragnas mi b'neihem. Va'ov ho v'lo nemar bar zachur nekeva, ein atamoti tumtum va'adragnas mi b'neihem. Now, Rabbi Elazar argues that by birds, the Torah never separates male from female. I mentioned this many times, primarily because by birds, the genitalia is recessed into the body, so you don't know male from female. Okay, so fine. But anyway, but his point is a halachic point. Because the Torah does not segregate men from women, so therefore there's no tumtum and androgynous exclusion as well by birds. But anyway, but the point is that what do you see again that listed together with androgynous is tumtum? According to Rav Chisda, they shouldn't be lumped together. Tumtum is just simply, we don't know. Sami mikan tumtum, take out tumtum from this brisa. We'll do one more today. Tashma Rabbi Elazar Omer ha-trefa v'ha-kalayim v'yotzei dofen tumtum v'androgynous lo kedoshin v'lo magdishin. They are not in the parsha of Temura. Neither the one that is, how do I say this? Neither the one that is the source of Temura, nor the one that receives Kedusha's Temura. Now, how did it become Kaddish to begin with? Rashi deals with that issue. Rashi says, let's say it was born of a mother who was a Karban. So therefore, it was imbued with Kedusha's Haguf. Okay, va'amr shmur lo kedoshim b'tmura, v'lo maktishin la'asos tmura. And again, what do you see? Tumtum is right there with androgynous. And again, according to Rav Chisda, they don't belong together. Androgynous is an independent category. It's both male and female. And what's tumtum? We don't know. But it shouldn't be lumped together with androgynous. And one more time for today, sami mikan tumtum. Okay, so in that, brisa as well, just take tumtum out of the discussion. Okay? Again, Rav Chisda has a big yesod, which we pretty much ended today's daf with, which is that tumtum is just simply we don't know. It's not its own category. It's not a third option. It's just simply it could be male, it could be female. We just don't know what it is, and therefore you treat it accordingly. What about all the brises that put tumtum in the same category as androgynous? So take it out. Nice. It's a problem, but simple solution.